"That will undoubtedly help a great deal, Father," he said aloud. "It's still going to be tricky, though. We'll do the best we can, I assure you, but it's entirely possible that at least a few of them will evade us." "Then sink them if they try," Gravier said coldly.
"Sink them if there's no other way to stop them," Jenkins corrected quietly.
The look Gravier gave him was not the sort Laker was accustomed to seeing a mere upper priest give a bishop, but Jenkins met it levelly.
"Of course that's what I meant, my lord," the intendant said after a brief hesitation.
That might be more easily said than done, I'm afraid, father," Laker said delicately. Both clerics turned back to him, and he shrugged.
"At the moment, none of the island batteries are manned. I have skeleton gun crews for the waterfront batteries, but not for the outer batteries. If they get out of the harbor proper, they'll have a free run through any of the main channels."
"Then get them manned."
Gravier sounded as if he thought he were speaking to an idiot, and Laker felt his jaw muscles tighten.
"It's not that simple, father," he said, trying very hard to keep any emotion out of his voice. "I don't have the gunners for those batteries. We don't normally keep them manned during times of peace, you know."
"Which," he carefully did not say aloud, "is because they're over 100 frigging miles from the city, you uninformed soul."
The large islands between Farade Sound and the Southern Ocean, and the extensive shoals around them, help shelter the huge bay from the often fractious weather off the southern tip of Howard. The islands also offered handy places to put batteries to cover the shipping channels, but manning fortifications like those was expensive, and James II of Delphirac had a well-deserved reputation for pinching marks until they squealed. Aside from what were little more than bare minimum caretaker detachments, the island batteries were never manned in peacetime.
"It would take several days at a minimum, more probably the better part of 2 or 3 5-days, to be honest, even if you permitted me the use of Mother Church's semaphore, for me to request the necessary gun crews, get them here, and then get them transported all the way out to the islands," he continued in that same painfully neutral tone. "My impression was that you intend for me to close the port to Corris promptly. If that is indeed the case, there won't be sufficient time to get the gunners we need to man the channel forts."
"I see." Gravier looked as if he wanted to find fault with Laker's explanation and felt nothing but irritation when he couldn't.
"You're correct about how quickly we need this done, Sir Vic," Jenkins said, "and," he glanced at Gravier, "all God can ask of any man is that he do the best he can within the capabilities he has. I feel confident that you, as always, will do just that."
"Thank you, Bishop."
Laker gave him a slight but heartfelt bow.
"In that case, we leave you to begin making your preparations," the bishop said. "Come, Stiven."
Gravier looked briefly rebellious, because, Laker realized, the intendant wanted to take personal command of the entire operation. Since he couldn't do that, the next best thing would have been to spend several hours telling Laker how he should go about doing it.
"And wouldn't that result in a fine mess?" Laker thought sardonically from behind the careful shield of his eyes. "Not that it isn't likely to wind up as exactly that, anyway. And just how do Clinton and the Chancellor expect Carus and King Caleb to react to all this?"
He had no answer for his own question. Yet.